Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still effervescing, I'm bubbling all over, because we're still in the Book of Psalms. And the Book of Psalms is one of my favorite writings because we know it exposes us to the most beautiful verses, I think, that are written in our Bible. And it's worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written, or I should say ascribed to, by Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And the other 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Our host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always love to do, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me and my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, if you humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, he will heal you. That's taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The promise, of course, is that God will heal us if we humble ourselves and seek him and pray to him. God said again through Solomon, trust in me with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, and acknowledge me, and in all of my ways, and I will direct your steps. This is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And we know that the promise is that he will direct our steps, my precious brothers and sisters, if we trust in him with all of our heart. God said again through David, if you set your love upon me, I will deliver you. I will give you long life, and I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's taken from Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16. Now, the promise is salvation, my brothers and sisters, if you set your love upon the Lord God Almighty. So again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go to the study, I would like for you to know as a reminder that all of what is written in the Bible is in code, meaning it is written in mysteries, written in secrets, written in parables, written in prophecies, written in proverbs, written in paradoxes, written in riddles, and written in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. My precious brothers and sisters, that is why we are here right now, to study and to learn. So let's go to the study. We're in the book of Psalms, and there are 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, and I have written 232 instructions for these. Now we are in chapter 119, Psalms 119. All of our lessons, our instructions will be taken from Psalms 119 this evening, again, as it was last week. And we're going to look at Psalms 119, verse 97 through 104. Psalms 119, verse 97 through verse 104. And this is the instruction that I want you to glean from the text that I read to you, my precious brothers and sisters. Why should we love God's law? Why should we love God's law? Because we know that God is love. And it is written in the text, or not in the Psalms, but in 1 John, that perfect love casts out fear. And that is significant to us. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 97, verse 104 through 104. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You want to be wiser than your enemies, my precious brothers and sisters? You must keep God's commandments. Verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You want the understanding of more than what I'm even revealing to you tonight, or any of your Bible teachers tell you about? You must keep God's testimonies. Meditate upon them. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. My precious brothers and sisters, you want to know more than they knew 100 years ago? You keep God's precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. My precious brothers and sisters, that's why we should love God's law. Now let's go to the New Testament compliment. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. And this is how the writer, which was Luke, said about learning or loving God's law. This is what Acts chapter 13, in comparison and agreeing, says about this instruction. Acts 13, verse 38 and 39. It says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. So we know that the law of Moses is what King David was rehearsing to Israel. This is telling us that Jesus the Christ, he is the one that you should love now. He is the one that will get you to salvation. The law of Moses could not do it, but the words of Jesus Christ can. And that is significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That God's law includes Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin and give us salvation. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, now we're going to go to instruction number 182. But before we do, let's take our first break.
Somebody going through tough times, or somebody struggling just to keep your head above water. You're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you. But you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day, when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, "Listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, I'm standing." You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fading, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through. Struggles that you stood through. Weaknesses that you stood through. Crises that you stood through. Pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny. When you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to instruction number 182, and we're going back to Psalms 119. Again, we're looking at verse 105 this time, just one verse, and this is the instruction that I want you to take from the verse that I read, or keep this in mind as I read the verse. The word, thy word, O Lord God Almighty, is a lamp and a light. That is what I want you to maintain as a thought as I read the verse. And the verse is almost verbatim. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we know how significant that light is, my brothers and sisters, because Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, we are the light of the world, and that a light should not be put under a bushel, but put on a lampstand where it is not hid, that all can see. And we understand further from what Jesus says that we should let our light so shine before man that they will glorify, see our good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That is so significant. Now let's turn to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it was put in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And this is so significant because this is where we see where Jesus is introduced as part of the creation, and I should say who actually created us. This is what John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says. In the beginning was the Word. That was Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. This is significant, my brothers and sisters. In him was life. And that life was the light of man. It is the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, that because of that light, darkness is dispelled. And those who come to Jesus will recognize the light. Those who do not come to Jesus are still in darkness. And we understand that that's symbolic. That light is not the physical light we see, that darkness is not the physical darkness we see. That light is knowing the Son of God or not knowing the Son of God. That's what is significant here. And what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives is that the Logos, our Word of God, is Jesus. And he is our true and faithful witness of God unto salvation. We cannot see the salvation of God except through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is one reason why, even in the Old Testament, the Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah, meaning they're looking for the Son of God, because they know only through the Son of God is their salvation. That is critical. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 119, we're going to look at verses 114 through verses 117. Psalms 119, and we're going to look at verses 114 through verse 117. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God is our hiding place. My brothers and sisters, if we were out in the open, as some of us are and were, we are subjected to the wiles of not only the world, but of Satan. God is our hiding place. We know that Jesus even instructed us that when we give alms, when we pray, when we fast, we go into our closet. That's our hiding place. And when the Father sees it, us in our closet doing those things that we are required to do, he will reward us openly. That's so significant. Now, this is how David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 14. He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, my God, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And that is what David is telling Israel, that they must do this until the Messiah comes. They must hold to the laws of Moses. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. We're going to go to Matthew and see what Jesus has to say about this in Matthew verse 27 or Matthew verse 11. Matthew verse 11, verse 27 through 30. And this is how Jesus tells us. And this is what we are to do today, my brothers and sisters, because of our instruction about our hiding place. Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now here's the significance, my brothers. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus says, I am the one that you hide in. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My brothers and sisters, not rest unto your flesh, rest unto your soul. This is so significant. We must understand that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost in the soul, not that which is lost in the flesh. The flesh is still going to be burned up. It's going to be lost because it is under the curse of the Garden of Eden. And lastly, the verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My precious brothers and sisters, I want what is easy and light. Jesus says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And we know that the psalmist says, cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And we know even in 1 Peter, when he writes, he says, cast your burdens upon the Lord because he loves you. So my brothers and sisters, you want light and easy, you pick up your cross and you deny yourself and you cast your burdens upon Jesus Christ. That is so significant to know. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives concerning God being our hiding place. That in Jesus Christ, he is our refuge and strength. He is our shield and buckler. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, now as we get ready to go to the next instruction, we will take our second break for the evening.
Into a season right now, it ain't time for us to point out everybody else's fault. It's time for us to look in the mirror and say, am I usable? Am I flexible? Am I pliable? Am I moldable? Can God take my life, put me on the potter's wheel, and spin me until he makes me everything that I need to be for this next season in my life? Some of you have been spinning and you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I spinning? Why am I going in circles? But I'll tell you why you're going in circles. It's because God is making you another vessel. It's a new season and he's putting touches on your life that you didn't need in the last season, but you're going to need it in this season. So he just scoops you up, drops you on the wheel, starts bending you, making you uncomfortable, breaking you. You're trying to figure out. You're like, God, I did everything right, I thought. He said, no, it's not that you've done anything wrong. I'm just getting you ready for the next season. You asked me to use you, didn't you? Hallelujah. So God, we have to check ourselves, because once we are refined and once we are ready, God will begin to use us. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us examine our ways. Let us test them and let us return back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. Let us test them. And if we're out of whack, let's return back to the Lord. Because it's only as we return back to the Lord that God, and we allow him to form us into what we need to be. Somebody saying, what's next for my life? What's next for your life is that you have to examine yourself and say, God, am I usable? God is looking for people who are holy. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness really means that we that we live a consecrated life, that we aim to live a pure life. Make every effort, Hebrews 12 says. Make every effort to be consecrated. Make every effort to be pure. Make every effort to be sanctified in your heart and in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the primary characteristic that lets us know that he is there is that you ought to want to be holy, that you ought to want to be different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, something in you says, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to hang with everybody I used to hang with. When the Holy Spirit is in there, the evidence that he is in there is that you want to be different. It's that you want to be like God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we are again. Let us continue our study. We're on instruction number 184, and the Psalm 119 verse that we're going to go to is verse 120. We're going to only look at verse 120, but it is so significant, and this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse. Fear the Lord God. My precious brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who practice it. The fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom, and before honor is humility. We all need to fear the Lord God Almighty. This is so significant to us. This is how David put it to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is not only a awesome, excuse me, or a reverential fear. That is a physical fear. That is something that we must understand and know. In fact, let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 through 20. And this is what David or Moses taught Israel about this physical fear, as well as the spiritual fear. But this physical fear is a part of that. And this is what Moses told Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 through 20. This is what Moses said. And the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed themselves and stood afar off. And Moses said, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Because they were so physically afraid, my brothers and sisters. And verse 20 says, and Moses said unto them, unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. That is the most important part of the fear of the Lord. That is the wisdom we get from the fear of the Lord. And what is that? Not to sin against the Lord God Almighty. That's the significance here. And now let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew, and we're going to look at one verse in Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And this is how Jesus says it. Listen to this, my precious brothers and sisters. He incorporates both the spiritual or the awesome, the way that some preachers preach it, that we should fear the Lord. It should be that, and I forget the direct comment, but anyway, this is what Jesus says in verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That is what Jesus says. We are to fear the Lord God Almighty physically and spiritually. That influential awe that the preachers preach. That's what I meant to say earlier. We must have more than just that. We must have that physicalness, that physical fear also. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the fear of the Lord is both physical and spiritual. Solomon says, because sentencing against an evil work is not executed speedily by God, the heart of man is continually set to do evil. And that's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. And that is significant because if we only had that reverential awe that I was speaking of earlier, then we would continue to think that God is not paying that close attention. But if we had that physical awe, like we do in so many other things in our life, we would not stick our finger in an electric plug. There are certain things that we would not do because of the physical fear of it. All right? And so that's significant. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 185, and we're going back to Psalms 119. We got another few verses to look at. We're going to look at verse 121 through 122, two verses, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the two texts, the two verses to you. God is our surety. My precious brothers and sisters, we want to be assured that God is in our corner. We know that the prophet Isaiah, he told us that the working of righteousness is peace, and the effect of working that righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. So that tells us that God, being our righteousness, he is our surety, and we will have that effect if we keep his commandments, if we work his righteousness. We know what God told Abraham, that his righteousness was a sign because of his belief in God. And we know that Moses taught Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, or Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 29, that keeping God's commandments, this is what Moses told Israel, is our righteousness. So believing in God and keeping his commandments, that is working our righteousness. That's significant. Now, this is, again, what Isaiah says about it. I just want you to listen to this, Isaiah chapter 32, and that's the one I cited, and it is verse 17, and this is what it says. It says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I just wanted to let you know where that was in the book of Isaiah, where you could refer to that. Now, let's read Psalms 119, verse 21 and 22. It says, I have done judgment and justice. Lead me not to my own oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. So we can see where David is telling or asking God to be surety for that. And now this is what it should mean to us. And we're going to go to 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. And we're going to get this understanding, comparing and agreeing. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. You want your calling and election to be sure, my precious brothers and sisters? That's your surety. You believe in God and keep his commandments. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. If we follow BIBLE, basic instructions before leaving earth, We will be equipped with what we need to get through this experience, this side of eternity. My brothers and sisters, if we follow BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, we will be equipped with what we need to get us through this experience, this side of eternity. That's what I want you to take from this instruction. Now let's take another break before we continue.
Everybody could become an expert at anything at a drop of a hat. Would there be any rewards for it? And I think you have the answer even as I ask the question. Got a couple of good buddies. They used to live down in South Alabama. Their names were Bernard Haygood and Jimmy Glenn. One day they're out riding through the South Alabama foothills and they got a little thirsty. Well, Bernard was the driver. He's also the athletic one. So he hopped out of the car. He ran around to this old abandoned pump there in the back of this old farmhouse. And he grabbed the handle of the pump and he started to pump. Now, let me say that when old Bernard grabbed that handle and started to pump, you know, since it was August and brutally hot that day, he was anxious to get some water out. So he really got after it. He was just a pumping away. And after a couple of minutes, he said, Jimmy, you better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek. He said, we're going to have to prime this pump. All that really means is that you got to put something in here before you can expect to get anything out here. The pump is really saying in another way what we've said so many times, and that is that you gotta be and do before you can have. Too many people stand in front of the stove of life, and they say, stove now, you give me some heat, and then I'll put some wood in you. So many times the employee goes to the employer and says, now give me a raise. And when you give me the raise, I'll start coming to work on time. I'll start doing the things you really want me to do. What they're saying is reward me now, and then later I'll perform. That's not the way it works. First, you've got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, old Bernard wanted to drink water. But the question is, just how much pumping are you willing to do in order to get that drink of water? And after a few minutes, he said, Jimmy, I just don't believe there's any water down there. And Jimmy said, yes, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. We're glad they are, aren't we? Because, you see, the deeper the well, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water is. And isn't that another lesson the pump can teach us? Isn't it true that those things which have value, I mean real value, are those things which we have to work for over a period of time? Yes, it's absolutely true. That those things which have value, which have real value, are those things which we make that honest effort to acquire. We work at it and we do a little sweating in the process. And by now, old Bernard is really beginning to sweat. I mean, it's August. It's hot. And finally, he just threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there just ain't no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, that water's going to go all the way back down. And then you're going to have to start all over. And isn't that the story of life? Isn't it true that so many people lose out on a lot of effort they've expended in the past because they don't do just a little bit more?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go to instruction number 186, and we're back in Psalms 119. This time we're going to be looking at verses 130 and verse 133 through 135. And this is the instruction that I want you to take or keep in mind while I read the verses to you. This is the instruction. The entrance of God's word giveth light. The entrance of God's word giveth light. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel concerning that. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. So that is telling us, or that's what David is telling Israel, that they must come and understand the word of God. And that word of God, that written word of God, the law of Moses, is going to give them the illumination that they need. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 33 through 36. Matthew chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. And here is what Jesus said about it, comparing and agreeing. Jesus said, no man, when he hath lit a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, the light of the body is the eye. That's very significant, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, the body is also full of evil or darkness. My brothers and sisters, if you have Christ in your life, then you can see what is needed to stay holy. But if you have not Christ in your life, you're going to follow the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil that you inherited from Adam and Eve is in darkness because of the curse. And that's significant. Now, here's what verse 35 says. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And he concluded with that statement. So that is so significant, that only through Jesus Christ do we receive the knowledge of everlasting life. Remember what God or Jesus said in the book, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 23? Well, it was before chapter, but Jesus told us that in him is light, and that is significant. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that it is the correct way through Jesus, and that man is the incorrect way. And that's what pleases God. Jesus says this, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that is what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Now let's go to instruction number 187, and we're going to go back to Psalms 119, and we're going to look at verse 139 through 140, and two verses. And what I want you to do is keep this instruction in mind as I read the two verses to you. Zeal for God is critical. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is so significant, that zeal for God is critical. God said you must, Moses rehearsed it to Israel in Deuteronomy. I think it was chapter 6 when Moses told Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might and with all thy soul. And we know that Jesus reiterated it and added to it in the Gospel of Matthew when he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength. That's the addition. And all thy mind. And that's another addition. And the key is being zealous. You must love the Lord thy God with all. And this is what David said in Psalms 119, verse 139 and 140. My zeal hath consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And because of that zeal, you are focused and concentrated. Now let's go to John chapter 2, and we're going to see how Jesus put it in verse 16 and 17 of John chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. And this is what Jesus said about that zeal. And said Jesus unto them that sold the doves in the temple, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples then remembered that which was written when Jesus said that, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. And that is why zeal is so critical to God, because you must love God with all, and you must keep all of his commandments. And this is significant. And this is spiritually what I want you to get from this instruction, that we have to be careful about physical zeal because it will destroy physically. Now, the world tells us to be zealous about our intentions, our talents, that we can do what is necessary and keep focused on the physical things that we are trying to achieve. But that only destroys. Remember what Solomon says about vanity and what would man profit if he, what would he give for his, or what would a man give? He would labor under the sun, it is vanity. And we know that Jesus said similarly, what would a man profit if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? And that's what physical zealotry will give you, only physical death, destruction. But spiritual zealot is tempered with loving kindness. And what that will give you is what Jesus purported when he gave us this instruction. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be zealot in seeking God's righteousness and his kingdom. And the other things, the physical things, will be added unto you. So that's what I want you to get from this spiritually, my brothers and sisters. And now what we're going to do is take the last break for this evening before we continue.
There are two types of Christian. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the Word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of his word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me, and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death many times. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue. 188 is the instruction. We're going back to Psalms 119. Remember I told you earlier that 119 is where we're going to get all of our instructions from this evening. We're going to look at verse 142 through 144, or two verses, 142 and 144. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses to you. Righteousness in our lives is significant. My brothers and sisters, to begin with, we are, as I think, caught in this web or in this life between righteousness and judgment. We know that God, the Bible teaches us that God loveth righteousness and God loveth judgment. I believe that righteousness and judgment are the bookends to our book of life. We are either between or somewhere in between righteousness and judgment. And so righteousness is so significant. And we know that righteousness, it stands for being correct or upright. Righteousness is integrity. It's honorable. It is noble. So that is where we want to be. That in our lives, righteousness is through Jesus Christ. Paul talked about Jesus Christ being God's righteousness. And we know that the righteousness of man is not the righteousness of God. And so we're talking about the righteousness of God and how significant it is. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel concerning it in Psalms 119, verse 42. He says, "Thy righteousness, God, is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." And so righteousness is the true law of God. And we know that God loves righteousness. And we remember earlier we said that God cited righteousness to Abraham because God believed, or because Abraham believed in God. And God said that that was his righteousness. And we also remember that I mentioned earlier that Moses taught Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 29, that keeping God's commandments is our righteousness. So we want to have righteousness in God. We have to believe in God, and we have to keep his commandments. And verse 44 puts it on this wise: "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." And that is the understanding that I'm sharing with you this evening about righteousness, that keeping God's commandments, his testimony is a part of his commandments. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus put it, comparing and agreeing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. This is what Jesus tells us about our righteousness. This is significant to us today to know, my brothers and sisters, why it is so significant in our lives. Listen to what Jesus says. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Except our righteousness, my righteousness and your righteousness, exceeds the righteousness of what they tell us from the pulpit and what the Christians that are out there saying, follow me, this is what you should be doing. Except our righteousness exceeds their righteousness, meaning that it exceeds just being a Methodist and nothing else, or a Presbyterian and nothing else, nor a Catholic and nothing else, nor a Baptist and nothing else. Our righteousness must succeed the righteousness of that in order for us to gain and enter the kingdom of God. Don't let me mislead you. If you hold to the righteousness of those particular faith practices that I mentioned, you will in no doubt receive your reward. But if you want to be full and unshackled, just to have the yoke and the burden of Jesus Christ upon you, as we read earlier, that yoke being easy and his burden being light, our righteousness must succeed that of those that are practicing or staying just in one shell, okay? Because God is not in a corner. God is in volume everywhere. And that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. And this is what spiritually we should learn, that our direct communication with God, we must use it if we expect him to always answer. And that is aside from the practice that we're in, my brothers and sisters, our direct communication to God. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for the evening. Back to Psalms 119. We're going to look at several verses. We're going to look at verse 145 through 149 and a couple of other verses. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the instruction as I read the verses to you. Cry unto the Lord God. That is who you should cry unto. I just mentioned it in the previous instruction spiritually, our direct communication with God. We must call out to God. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in verse 145 through 149. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, O Lord, and I will keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. My eyes prevented the night watches, and I meditated in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. That is how we focus and concentrate. That is how we are zealous. We cry directly to the Lord God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is where we should be focusing and concentrating our effort. And we're going to continue with Psalms 120, verse 1 and 2. It's going to also add to this. It says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. That is where you get your refuge and your solace from God directly. You do not get that from any intermediary other than Jesus Christ to God. He is our intermediary with God. And this is what it should mean to us. And this is what comparing and agree says to us about it. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. And this is what the Hebrew writer says. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had ordered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And that is key, my brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Except we believe, as Abraham believed, in God and Jesus Christ, except we keep God's commandments, as Jesus declared, we will not only have worldly troubles, but we will lose our salvation. That is so significant to us, and we have just completed our lesson for this evening, and I want you to know that the host and I want to thank you and bless you for participating and encouraging us in this lesson. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.